We're in the middle of a series. We've been talking about the battle of your mind, the battle for your mind. And so as we get ready for this, as we wind up this series here, I want you to look at and think about the mind as we look at this video as we get ready for the preaching of the word.
Welcome back to Smarter Every Day. You've heard people say it's just like riding a bike, meaning it's really easy and you can't forget how to do it, right? But I did something. I did something that damaged my mind. It happened on the streets of Amsterdam, and I got really scared, honestly. I can't ride a bike like you can anymore. Before I show you the video of what happened, I need to tell you the backstory. Like many six-year-olds with a MacGyver mullet, I learned how to ride a bike when I was really young. I had learned a life skill, and I was really proud of it. Everything changed, though, when my friend Barney called me 25 years later. Where I work, the welders are geniuses, and they like to play jokes on the engineers. He had a challenge for me. He had built a special bicycle, and he wanted me to try to ride it. He had only changed one thing. When you turn the handlebar to the left, the wheel goes to the right. When you turn it to the right, the wheel goes to the left. I thought this would be easy, so I hopped on the bike, ready to demonstrate how quickly I could conquer this.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Destin Salem. First attempt riding the bicycle.
All right. So, the faster I go, the better.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. You can see that I'm laughing, but I'm actually really frustrated. In this moment, I had a really deep revelation. My thinking was in a rut. This bike revealed a very deep truth to me. I had the knowledge of how to operate the bike, but I did not have the understanding. Therefore, knowledge is not understanding. Look, I know what you're probably thinking. Destin's probably just an uncoordinated engineer and can't do it. But that's not the case at all. The algorithm that's associated with riding a bike in your brain is just that complicated. Think about it. Downwards force on the pedals, leaning your whole body, pulling and pushing the handlebars, gyroscopic precession in the wheels, every single force is part of this algorithm. And if you change any one part, it affects the entire control system. I do not make definitive statements that often, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot ride this bicycle. You might think you can, but you can't. I know this because I'm often asked to speak at universities and conferences, and I take the bike with me. It's always the same. People think they're going to try some trick or they're just going to power through it. It doesn't work. Your brain cannot handle this. For instance, this guy. I offered him $200 just to ride this bike 10 feet across the stage. Everybody thought he could do it.
No, you didn't understand. You didn't understand. So, this way. All right, whatever you're at.
Wait, wait.
No, no, you have to keep your feet on. Dude, all right, here we go.
Wait. Like, you gotta start rolling at least.
Feet on the pedal. Go.
Go right off.
Just keep your feet on the pedal.
Once you have a rigid way of thinking in your head, sometimes you cannot change that, even if you want to. So here's what I did. It was a personal challenge. I stayed out here in this driveway and I practiced about 5 minutes every day. My neighbors made fun of me. I had many wrecks, but after 8 months, this happened. One day I couldn't ride the bike and the next day I could. It was like I could feel some kind of pathway in my brain that was now unlocked. It was really weird though. It's like there's this trail in my brain, but if I wasn't paying close enough attention to it, my brain would easily lose that neural path and jump back onto the old road it was more familiar with. Any small distractions at all, like a cell phone ringing in my pocket, would instantly throw my brain back to the old control algorithm and I would wreck. But at least I could ride it. My son is the closest person to me genetically and he's been riding a normal bike for 3 years. That's over half his life. I wanted to know how long it would take him to learn how to ride a backwards bike, so I told him if he learned how to ride a backwards bike, he could go with me to Australia and meet a real astronaut. Are you going to give up?
No. Go ahead. This is how it starts. Look at this. This is such a big deal. Get up. You got it. Did you see his brain get it? So he, in how many weeks have we been doing this? 2 weeks? in 2 weeks, he did something that took me 8 months to do, which demonstrates that a child has more neuroplasticity, am I even saying that right, than an adult.
It's clear from this experiment that children have a much more plastic brain than adults. That's why the best time to learn a language is when you're a young child.
All right, today's bike log. I can ride smooth, I can ride fast. I'm thinking the experiment is over. Okay, now I'm in Amsterdam, a city that has more bicycles than people. The question is, can I ride a normal bike now? I mean, I've spent all this time unlearning how to ride a bike. If I go back and try to ride a normal one, will my brain mess up? So I've tweeted a Smarter Everyday meetup, if you will, and I'm going to see if somebody brings a bicycle, and I'm going to try to ride a normal bike. It's backwards.
This was one of the most frustrating moments of my life. I had ridden a normal bike since I was six, but in this moment, I couldn't do it anymore. I had set out to prove that I could free my brain from a cognitive bias. But at this point, I'm pretty sure that all I proved is that I could only redesignate that bias.
So what you're not seeing is just a group of people here looking at me, looking at the strange American that can't ride a bike because they think I'm dumb. But I'm actually two levels deep into this because I've learned and unlearned. All right.
After 20 minutes of making a fool out of myself, suddenly my brain clicked back into the old algorithm. I can't explain it, but it happened in a very specific moment.
Got it. I'm back. Oh, it clicked. Hold on, it clicked. I got it. Okay, there it is. There was the moment. Okay, I can ride a bike.
I tried to explain this to the people around me, and they just didn't get it. They thought I was faking the previous 20 minutes, and I couldn't get anybody to believe me.
That looked like I faked that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Just a face.
You think I'm faking. You don't believe me.
This looks so weird. You're like, la, 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 and it's cool.
You think I'm lying, don't you?
Yeah,
I'm not lying.
I felt like the only person on the planet who had ever unlearned how to ride a bike, and I couldn't articulate it to anyone because everybody just knew that you can't forget how to ride a bike. So I learned three things from this experiment. I learned that welders are often smarter than engineers. I learned that knowledge does not equal understanding. And I learned that truth is truth, no matter what I think about it. So be very careful how you interpret things, because you're looking at the world with a bias, whether you think you are or not. I'm Destin. You're getting smarter every day. Have a good one.
Pretty powerful video, huh? Truth is truth regardless of how you look at it. Knowledge doesn't equal understanding, and yet we have so many smart people think they understand everything. The idea of trying to unlearn a pattern is very, very difficult. And the problem, as we've been talking about in this series about the battle for your mind, is that we have a contaminated world in which we live in. Because of the fall, we have false premises. There's so many things that are contaminated in our thinking. We have a real adversary, the devil, who's veiling our minds from truth and from realities that we, therefore, we're locked into wrong thinking. And on here, you're saying to unlearn a process becomes a very difficult thing. And yet God wants us to unlearn the way the world thinks and the way we thought as we're unsaved people and didn't know Christ, and to relearn a whole new way of thinking, a whole new understanding that the Spirit of God gives us as we become Christians who are engaged with and in the Holy Spirit. It gives us the power to live. We've been in this series, A Battle for Your Mind. We've talked about how that God has a strategic plan for your life and the devil has a strategic plan for your demise. That we're in a contaminated world and therefore we need to have our thoughts filtered out. We also have an adversary, the devil, who veils our mind and blinds us. So we need to have our mind renewed and enlightened. And this morning I want to talk about the power, the empowerment that God gives to our mind. The Holy Spirit is to filter your mind. The Holy Spirit is to renew your mind. These are the weapons God's given us. And the Holy Spirit is to empower your mind. I was talking to Christian a couple of days ago. And actually, I got a phone call. And it was Creighton. How old's Creighton? Five?
Kyron.
Oh, excuse me, Kyron. It was Creighton. Oh boy, I'm not going to live that one down. I know what's going to happen at the party today. I'm going to just get reamed. Anyway, Kyron. Kyron's five? Four and a half. Oh, there he is. Come here, Kyron. Oh my gosh, he's here. Hey, cowboy, how are you doing? All right. So Kyron, he gets on the phone and you told me. What did you tell me on the phone?
I asked Jesus to get in my
I ask Jesus to walk into my heart.
You ask him to get into your heart, right? All right. Woo! Whoa! We always, when anybody, a lot of times people get up here and they'll say that they ask the Lord into their heart, and why people are standing, it's a thing that we do here because I think there's a standing ovation at heaven when a person gives their life to Christ, and I think we want to join in with that party, and that's why we always stand up when someone talks about giving their life to Christ. So you gave your heart to Jesus? Was it fun? Here's what happened. I get this call on the phone, and he says, Grandpa. And I go, yeah. And he goes, I gave my life to Jesus. And I go, oh. So we're just rejoicing and happy and all of that. And then I asked Christian, how did it happen? What happened? And he says, well, we were all chatting at the dinner table and we got all done and people were chatting around. We just happened to got done chatting. And Kyron says, I want to go to heaven. And Christian looks at him and goes, you want to go to heaven? Do you know how to get there? Do you know how to get there? And what did you say?
Walk up.
You want to get there? Do you know how to get there? Yeah, you just walk up. Okay, that's the mind of a child realizing how you get to heaven. But that's not how we get to heaven. We have to ask Jesus into our heart, right? And when Jesus comes into our heart, he grabs us by the hand, and Jesus takes us to heaven, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Give me a kiss, buddy. I love you, bud. I got candy in my office for you. Hop on down there. Give me a hand.
Grandpa, where should I put this?
Oh, what?
This.
What'd you say?
Where should I put the microphone?
Where should you put the microphone? Give it to that good-looking man right there. There you go. Good job. Good job, buddy. Where should I put the microphone? The mind and thinking of a child is so innocent and so fun, but sometimes our thinking can be, you know, it's kind of like, we look at it as, well, that's kind of ridiculous. You can't just walk up there. There's a whole new process. But for some of us, we don't realize in our thinking, in our mind thinking of how we evaluate life, and we have it in such a way that we don't understand the things of God the way he put them down, and therefore we have this simplistic thinking about A plus B equals C, and that's the way it is. But God has something more. He has something deeper, something more spiritual. And we have an adversary out there who doesn't want us to get the picture, who doesn't want us to know and to think correctly and to think rightly. And if you would, I'm going to explore three scriptures this morning, if you wouldn't mind standing. And let's talk about these three scriptures that we're going to go over this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You may be seated. It's talking about our thinking here. Talking about our thinking. As Christians, how are we supposed to think? As Christians, how are we supposed to think? It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we walk in this natural life, this life that's natural down here, it says, we do not war, speaking that there must be a battle. He says, there is a war. We are having a wrestling match. There is something going on, whether we're aware of a battle or not, whether you're aware there's a battle for your mind and you're thinking in the right way to think or not, there is one. But he says, though we walk in this natural life, we do not war according to that natural life. If you're going to war, the weapons of our warfare are not these natural things. And that's the problem. Sometimes we think as Christians that the way we're to face problems and to think them through is just with the natural mindset. But God says, I don't want you to think or to war or to go through life just with a natural mindset. I want you to go through with a spiritual mindset. The weapons of our warfare. We don't war with natural rules, with natural boundaries, with natural weapons, or you will lose that battle. It's a spiritual battle. You can't see it with your natural eyes, but he's given us the spirit to aid our mind so that we can think right, so we can fight right, so we can fight effectively this battle for the thinking processes of my mind that are to the world backwards, as in that bike. The world naturally gets on the bike and rides it and thinks that's exactly how it goes, but God says that's not how it really is. It's opposite of the world. And to ride something and to think something opposite of the world takes some time into the Word of God and some time exercising with God so that we can navigate it properly and rightly and enjoy the ride we're supposed to ride. The world calls that the backwards bike. Maybe God calls our bike, our way of thinking, the backwards way. What is the right way? I think it's God's way. The Holy Spirit is the key to Christian victory. If you don't have the Holy Spirit engaged, you are fighting at a disadvantage. You're fighting without power. If you're in this battle, not with the Holy Spirit engaged in your life, you're fighting at a disadvantage. You're fighting at a handicap. It's like, beat me up, Scotty. I can't come. I ain't got no power. I mean, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't have the power that God wants us to have as we're walking through life. If we're in the battle without the Holy Spirit, it's like fighting with one hand behind your back. It's like fighting with both hands behind your back, and you're blindfolded, and you're kicking at the darkness, and you're trying to make sense of the world and sense of the right thinking and sense of all of the analogies and ideologies that are coming down in our society today, and trying to navigate through all of that blindfolded and with our hands tied behind our back, trying to make sense of it all. But God wants to enlighten us. He wants to filter our mind, enlighten our mind. He wants to take the veil away, and he wants to give us the power to think accurately, correctly, rightly. Next week, I'm going to start another series on the truth. Truth or consequences. What is the truth? Pilate asked it. What is truth? And our generation today, I believe, is asking the same question. We're just answering it with the wrong answer. Do we have the Holy Spirit? There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your mind. And we just think, well, I've always thought, well, it makes sense to me. Or what I think is, instead of, what must the Holy Spirit be saying? What is the Holy Spirit doing? Lord, help me to think correctly, rightly. Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind under the arguments of the world about a particular issue, thought, ideology, or problem. How do I navigate? How do I navigate correctly with the Holy Spirit? I put this observation. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You bring the biggest, most powerful thing you got. That's the Holy Spirit. There is a gunfight going on out there. There is a battle going on out there. And if we bring a knife, a squirt gun, a Play-Doh, if we bring stuff and think we're going to manage it without the Holy Spirit, the power of God, we're going to lose. We're going to lose the battle. We need to be thinking rightly with the power of the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say this, for the weapons, plural, of our warfare, there's a war out there, are not carnal. The word carnal. Sarkikos comes from sarx. It means pertaining to the flesh, or temporal, natural, a temporal. We don't fight with these natural weapons. We don't really fight with guns or knives, or honestly, we don't fight with the things of this world. We fight with something that's supernatural, something that's mighty. You can't fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. You will lose. With earthly weapons, you will lose. We must have spiritual weapons. And he says, I'm going to give you those. There's a battle for your mind. He's given us weapons to fight. Weapons to fight. Will we use it? We can't use weapons of this world. We need to use weapons that are out of this world. Out of this world. In a different dimension. The word mighty here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, they're not of this world, they're not of here, they're not of things that you grew up with or have as you pertain to this life. There's something that comes from another life. It comes from a life surrendered to Christ. It comes from the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. They're different weapons. Are we assessing them? Are we utilizing them? Or are we still in the dark, thinking that we're Christians, having the Spirit of God and all of that, yet still thinking with old natural minds rather than in spirit enlightened, empowered by God minds? The word mighty here, mighty in God. Our weapons are mighty in God. They're not mighty in me. They're mighty in God. I'm not mighty by myself. I'm not Phil Vance Almighty. It's God Almighty. God Almighty. I think about, you've all seen the movie Iron Man, a number of those. Iron Man has his suit on. He's just, what's his name, Tony Stark. He's just plain old Tony Stark, although, you know, he's a billionaire or whatever and rich and blah, 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 but he's still a mere mortal. Yet when he puts that suit on, his whole life changes. We're just mere mortals. But when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we clothe ourselves in the Holy Spirit of God, we are also transformed. We are also transformed. We're a spirit man. I'm a spirit man. Ta-da! Off to save the world. Spirit man. Because we're clothed with the Spirit of God, and we need to allow that Spirit to infiltrate our thinking. That we're thinking His thoughts. Me by myself, I'm a big fat zero. Me with God, I am almighty. Because Almighty, God Almighty is in me. God Almighty is in you. The creator of the universe, the author of everything, the one who's the greatest thinker of all time, the greatest one who's done the greatest things, lives inside of you. Are you utilizing what you have as you think through the ideologies of this life? Are we using the Spirit, or are we gathering our wisdom from the world and combining it with the Spirit and having it tainted? And I think it's a problem of our society today. I think we as Christians have the danger is to take the things of the Spirit and allow the things of the world to kind of come in and mesh a little bit and make our decisions based upon not purely the things of the Spirit of God, but this mixed up thing. And if that happens, we're not going to think correctly. We're not going to think rightly. How much sewage do you want to put into your water before you're willing to not drink it? I don't want any in there. But sometimes we put a little bit in. God's given us spiritual weapons. And the purpose of these weapons are, number one, for pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. Strongholds in your own life and strongholds in other people's lives, or a stronghold in a situation. We have the power to pull it down by our prayers, by us communing with God, by us allowing the Spirit to take over. I think about strongholds, pulling down strongholds, or pulling out, uprooting things. And a little while ago, we got rid of some junipers out here, and those juniper roots go everywhere. And if you're trying to sit there and pull in a juniper root, you're not going to get it out. But we took and we dug down a little bit, and we put a chain around it and took a 4x4, a nice big truck, chained it together, put it in four-wheel drive, and just roots come pulling out. And the same thing, God's given us spiritual tools to uproot wrong thinking in our lives. We need to pull out some wrong roots that we have in our mental capacities so that we have the right capacity, the right thoughts, the right thinking that comes from God. It needs to line up here. Well, how do I know my thinking's right? Does it line up here? Well, you know it says that, but I've always thought, there you go again. I've always thought. That's coming not from a out of this world mind. It's coming from the natural mind. It's coming from this world. I need to have my thoughts as His thoughts. My ways as His ways. But I get that as I allow this word to come into my mind, so I know I'm uprooting that which is wrong. You know, I've always thought, but I'm realizing That's a humanistic approach. That's a wrong. I need to renew my thinking. I need to make sure I'm doing what God wants, not what I want. Remember, he bought you. He traded his son's life for yours. And we gave it to him. He took it. Now he wants to redeem it and do great things in it. So he wants to uproot things, uproot wrong thinking. The second purpose, he wants to cast down arguments and every high, lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And please hear this. There are so many ideologies out there that exalt themselves, that ideology, against God. Against God. And he's saying, I'm going to give you a weapon, the Holy Spirit, that will allow you to throw down those arguments that are exalting themselves against Christ and pick up the right ones and think the right way. Casting down arguments. That word casting, it means to lower with violence. It isn't just, oh, darn, I should probably get rid of that thought. It's like to lower with violence. Sorry, box. To lower with violence. It's like, no! Because if we don't lower with violence, here's what happens. If we just lower like this, oh, well, thank you, honey. Here, hand me the box. If we just kind of, I'm going to lower that a little bit. I'm going to lower that a little bit. Then what happens is, well, what did this Kleenex ever do to you? Why is he so bad? What's wrong with him? He's just a little old Kleenex. Well, yeah, he's kind of fluffy, nice, soft, can help me in my life. And all of a sudden, we start putting back into our lives the things we're supposed to be taking out of our lives. God says, cast him down violently, the wrong thinking of this world. Now, we don't have to do it with arrogance. We're not going up to somebody going, I hate you, and blah, blah, blah. But we need to, in our mind, go, no, I know that that's wrong. I know that thinking is wrong. I know that it's not right. We need to cast it down. Arguments, the word arguments here, casting down arguments, it means reasoning. It means reasoning, the thinking that's not correct. Casting down arguments or thinking that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God created everything. He has everything in store for us. He knows exactly what to do. But we have the ideologies of mankind that are battling against the ideologies of God. And God's saying, throw those down. Don't see how you can add those in. It's very clear. He wants us to throw them down, these arguments. The world has an argument, a rationale of why sin is okay. Well, you know, everyone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Casting. Think about casting. I have something somewhere here. How many people here like to fish? Any fishermen out there? Fisherwoman? Fisherperson? I think about fishing. My wife likes to fish, but we've never really done it, but we still like it. You want to? We're thinking about casting. God says casting down these arguments, casting them down, and we take, and we're supposed to cast. Did that come down or did it stay up? It came down? Okay, just a second. Whoa, got something. Got one. Oh, come on, little boy. Come on, little. I'm a fisher of men, yes. I'm a fisher. Can you pull that over here? Yeah, throw it over here. Get it down. Get it going. Throw it out there. Okay, here we go. And here's how we all think we play the game. I cast, and we reel in. And then we cast. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thanks, Bryce. And we reel in. And the problem is this. The Bible says we're supposed to cast down these arguments, right? We're supposed to cast them out. And we're flipping them out. The problem with us is once we flip out the wrong thinking, the wrong ideology, the wrong thoughts, we try to pull them back into our lives once again. Once we go, hey, a difficult thing's happened to me. I've forgiven that person for what he did to me. I cast off all of that junk. Whoops, Bryce, help me again. And then we go, I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm going to forgive. God tells me I'm supposed to forgive. I'm just going to forgive. And all of a sudden we go, oh, you hurt me again. I remember. We bring back the same old thoughts again. It happens with husbands and wives. It happens with people in issues. It happens with the person who's hurt you in life. And then all of a sudden we forgive. We don't forget. We retrieve it back again. He's asking us to let go of our wrong thinking, our wrong ideologies, our wrong way of doing things. He wants us to cast it off. He wants us to cast it away. He wants us to get rid of it. It's like this. He wants us to take that and then cast it away from here. Where'd it go? It's gone. Hallelujah. Why are you asking? He wants us to cast away doubt, shame, fear, sin, insecurity, hurt, pain, all of the things that we have in our life that we cast out and reel back in. He's given us a weapon, the Holy Spirit, to cut the process, to cast it out and to get it out of your life once and for all. And we're supposed to do it with violence. We're supposed to do it with force. Don't reel back in what God has forgiven you of. Don't reel back in what God has healed you of. Don't reel back in the way you've rethought life, the proper way to try to go back and ride that bike again instead of riding the one God gave you. Hear me? Are we willing to cut loose and let go? Let it go. Let it go. Not gonna something anymore. I don't know. It's oh yeah, okay, thank you, honey. Yes, I cast it out. I want you to be conscious. We have to make a conscious effort of what we're casting out. And people, my encouragement today is to think about casting out and cutting away those things I just said, the doubt, the shame, the hurt, the pain, the anguish, the sin, the shame, the thoughts, the ideologies that you know are wrong and you keep putting back in. You come here and you go, oh, yeah, I'm convinced that's the way I'm going to think. It's what I'm going to say. It's how I'm going to act. And then we get out there and we go, and we start chickening out and we act back the other way. And God's going, hey, cast it out once and for all. Let it be gone. Let it be gone. Let it be gone. In Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. It's really stupid to go back and get it again. Cast it off. We need to cast down, cast out, cast off arguments and reasoning and the things of this world. We need to cast down bad or incorrect thoughts that I'm a loser. I'm just clumsy. I'm just an oak. An oak. I'm a tree. Any thought, ideology, logic, strategy, way of thinking, rationale, mode of operation, etc., 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 that puts itself above God must be cast down and cast out. God is the standard. Anything and everything that exalts itself above God needs to be cast down and cast out of our life. Want a good life? Cast out the junk. For some reason, we reel in junk. Don't reel it in. Let it go. Let it be gone. Let God give you a brand new way to live your life. The world thinks that it thinks well. That maybe it doesn't think well. Maybe its thinking is stinking. And we need to get out of it. Then it says this, bring every, not some, not most, but every thought Everything you're thinking, calculating, putting into your mind, allowing to come in and bounce around in there, bring all of those into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's interesting that when you're in captivity, can you do whatever you want? If you're a prisoner of war, you go, hey, listen, this morning, guys, I'd like to have bacon and eggs. If you could have that, and if you wouldn't mind delivering it to my room, I'm in cell 104. Bring it in there. I'd like to have some hot coffee, too, as well. Is that what we're doing when you're in captivity? No. You're not doing what you want. You're doing what your captor wants. You're doing it the way your captor wants. You can't think whatever you want. And I'll explain in a moment, our thinking messes us up. You just can't think whatever you want. You can't let it be in your mind. You can't let those things bounce around in your mind that's wrong, he says, to cast them out. You got to literally cast out wrong thinking. I was walking with a person one day, and I was doing, and I did that. Literally, I just violently casting down a thought. And they go, dude, do you have a spasm? What's going on? And I go, wow, I just had this weird thought. And I just, when I get a weird thought, I throw it down and I say this. I say, that's not my thought. I don't want that thought. I'm going to captivate that thought to the obedience of Christ. And he says, throw it out. And I'm throwing it out. Here's the other thing too. Some of you think thoughts and you go, oh my gosh, I'm an awful person. I say, that's not my thought. I don't want that thought. That's not me. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I used to be that person. I'm no longer that person. I am not that person. I'm a new me. Therefore, I am not that person. I don't think those thoughts. Therefore, you can't get on me and say, hey, you're the old person again. You're thinking those thoughts. See, you're the bad person. No, 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 no. I'm not the bad person. I don't want to think that way anymore. Those aren't my thoughts. And I send them back to the pit of hell. Don't let the devil convince you're a bad person because a thought came into your mind. You just cast it out and let it go. Okay? We get neutralized because the enemy has a heyday as he makes us think things or things that come into our mind. The Bible says, hey, just throw it out. Throw it out. Throw it out. Just throw it out. Get it out of there. Cast it out. We must bring our thinking, all of it, into captivity. We must realize that our thoughts are real and powerful. Even though they cannot be seen, weighed, or measured, we must bring them into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because you sow a thought, you're going to reap an action. Sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. Sow a habit, you're going to reap a character. Sow a character, you're going to reap a destiny. Our destiny is determined by what we think. Think you're a loser? Not going to do much in life. Think you're a person who's meek and gentle but empowered by the Spirit of God? He can do amazing things in your life. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? He says we're to bring it into captivity. What goes in and out of the mind needs to be regulated by Christ. What goes in and out of your mind needs to be regulated by Christ. Thought comes to your mind, you're a loser. Sorry, you are not allowed in. You must cease and desist. Drop your weapons and leave, or you'll be shot. And we need to just, it's gone. Have a good one? Hey, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Open the door. Let her in. All right, swim around in there. Swim around. Infect everything in there. Go on, swim around. Yeah. What we put into our mind, it affects us. It affects us. It affects us. It affects us. Are we allowing to come into our mind? Are we allowing to come into our mind the things that God says, boop, boop, or the things that the devil says? He's a filcher, remember? He's trying to steal little things at a time from you. He's a dirty filcher. God's given you a filter to filter out the filcher. from filching. Don't let them filch. You're not filching here anymore. I got a new mind, transformed in Christ, casting out the junk. I'm allowing to come into my mind the things of God. Let me pray. Father, we're so thankful that you're an amazing God. That you've given us power. Power, Lord, to allow this mind to ride the way it was created to ride. It may seem backwards to the world, Lord, but if we can give ourselves some time, give ourselves some time, give ourselves some time, we can ride that bike. We can ride it, Lord. We can undo the things the world's put into our mind, and we can relearn, redo by the Spirit, by the power of God, a new way of writing, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, as we allow our mind to be empowered by your Spirit. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness out there, Lord. Help us to be aware of it. And help us to live the way you want us to live. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let me say this. If you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to come on up here. We'll pray for you that you will receive Christ into your life. We'll tell you how to get there. You can't just walk up. But you can walk in with a heart that's been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, because he'll take you there as he grabs your hand. Maybe you need prayer for something else. Come here, they'll pray for you. Maybe you want to recommit your life to Christ. That as well. After this, we're gonna do a spaghetti feed. And I'm praying that all of you will go to the spaghetti feed. Is anybody here thinking about, no, I'm just not going to say that. We're going to have a lot of spaghetti, so ladies, take your purses. Fill them up. Guys, all we can do is put it in our little wallet, so we don't have much, but they can put a lot of spaghetti away. So team up with a girl and get it in your freezer. Let me say this as I end too. I want to say this comment, because Carrie and I went and saw the movie War Room. How many have seen War Room? Have you seen it? You should go see it. It's an incredible movie. It's a Christian movie, but it talks about this. I said in my closing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people. We're not mad about people, even though they wear a 49ers outfit. We're not. It's the spirit behind that. No. People do things because of the influences of a dark spirit that's on them. We're not fighting flesh and blood, the scripture says, but principalities and powers, darkness, wickedness, it says, that comes out and tries to grab a person's mind and twist their thinking into doing things they never dreamed they ever would. So our fight is not with the person. The spiritual warfare happens against these evil forces, Satan's henchmen, that grab and wrap around a brain and try to persuade it in a different way. So our job then is to go to the war room. Our ring of this fight is in a prayer room. The person we're fighting is not that person who hurt you, not your spouse, not your boss, not yourself. The person we're fighting is that enemy and all of the spiritual demonic forces. And we do that from the prayer room in power and in grace and in love. And as reciting the word of God, we start tearing down the stronghold that force has on a person's mind. Maybe it's a loved one that you have that you want to get saved. And why do they think this way? Because there's a force out there making them think that way. Fight that. Don't fight the person. Fight the thing that's driving the person, that force behind. And that's what we're to do in that prayer room. That's the weapons of our warfare, not carnal. We don't get mad at the guy. We have spiritual weapons that attack the enemy, defeat him, rob him, and neutralize the effects upon his mind that can change the person's heart then as Christ comes in. Love people. Love on them. Fight the enemy that's in the Spirit with the Holy Spirit. And watch what God will do. I pray this week that you think about that. Think about what's going on and go, oh, there's a spiritual thing going on here. I see this. There's a spiritual thing going on here. Oh, I see that. No, there's a spiritual thing going on here. I'm going to take it to this level. Natural, we try to fight this. We change the behavior that changes back. Fight this. We'll change a life that they'll give to Christ.